Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today. Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today, you're answering the question to integrate or not integrate our life experiences. That is the question. I'm encouraging you to make a decision regarding this lifelong journey. And I know if you're listening, you're probably far along the journey of integrating your life experiences and really committed to that process. But May is Mental Health Month, and I just feel it's a great time to answer consciously the question, or maybe even like recommitting to your path and really making sure that you are taking life's experiences and you're taking care of yourself in the process of your journey, pursuing your life dreams, and really committing to living your values. I think that a lot of times we compromise our values as we go along, and it's a subtle thing. Just like you can improve your brain subtly by brain and mental activities every day. And the same thing happens when we start compromising our values, is we can slowly disempower ourselves, and it's a gradual thing. And so I thought it's a perfect time. It's spring. Let's recommit ourselves to really healing ourselves and working to understand ourselves better so that we can also have deeper, more connected, resilient relationships with other people. So whether you're a new or long-time listener, you also know I used to call what I'm doing dual innovation with mentoring, but actually I'm finally coming to the book title of Dual Innovation Mentoring, a way in which you can integrate yourself and keep growing as a leader while you're working on your business. So dual is that two-part process. The innovation part is if you're in business, you're in the process of constantly innovating and adapting what you're doing to be relevant, to stay relevant, and to also build something of value that you can pass on to the next generation. And it's something that I hadn't thought about when I started We Mentor. I mean, 30 years later, I didn't plan 30 years out. And so I'm encouraging anyone that I'm working with to really think about your legacy. And sometimes even as parents, we don't think about our legacy of what we're leaving. I mean, we're entrenched in raising our kids and really working with them to raise healthy kids who are well-adjusted and working hard in life and contributing to our society and having good relationships and just getting them through the processes and learning how to get our kids into this activity or that activity or what's important in our lives. And I was glad for 2020, just to have a breathing point with the pandemic moving in, to reevaluate ourselves and our lives so that we can stay in control of the direction that we're going. So the dual part is working on your leadership while you're redesigning your business. The innovation part is really understanding how you innovate within your business. And the mentoring part is really making sure that you're developing those relationships. There's so much more research out there than used to be. When I reflect on 30 years in business, what has changed? Well, I'm hoping that there's a lot more business owners who are interested in really evolving themselves and really developing healthy work environments where you actually treasure the people that you're working with and that you're making the choices to take into account people's mental health and their overall well-being, because we're meeting a lot of needs when we're working with people day in and day out. And they're shifting, just like our mind shifts all the time. The business part of dual innovation is the innovation part. It's the business of doing your work. It's the business of cash flowing your work. It's the business of of having a foundation that works, the processes in place that help you do the work that you're doing. It's the sales systems in place to get clients. It's all those things. And so it really takes a village to grow and nurture a business. And the beauty of that is it brings you into so many different avenues and places that you really never envision. And so early on out, if you understand that you're going to be transforming or redesigning your business model and evaluating it as you go with the focus of what do I want to do with my business? And if you're on the path to going public with your business, that's determined pretty early in the process. And it's a whole different path than if you decide to go the small business route and see how much you can grow, but not necessarily be a huge company or make the shift into a medium-sized company. Part of the definition of small business is employing under 500 people. Well, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of revenue that you can generate with 500 people. So the range and depth and width of small business is huge. And so there's a lot of room for you to figure out how to grow. And with the industries changing a lot too, who knows what'll happen in the future. But I think planning out, projecting out year to year and staying connected with your daily activities will help you have and acquire a bigger vision for yourself and for your business, however that turns out. So what's the difference between integrating and not integrating your life experiences? Like, what does that look like? Well, let me tell you. On a daily basis, we decide whether to heal our insecurities and integrate our life experiences in the present moment or remain insecure, which can be viewed as continuing a lack of integration and living a persistent life of living out of harmony and ease. So if you feel out of harmony or ill at ease right now, take a moment to check in with yourself and identify how that feeling feels. Now, I would suggest if you're feeling that way to just tell yourself that you will determine the next best after you finish listening. If you're feeling at ease, I would like to reinforce some of the things that I've learned from Dr. Dan Siegel. He's a medical doctor and also a clinical professor of psychiatry, founding co-director of the UCLA Mindful Awareness Research Center, and he's an executive director of the MindSight Institute and an author of numerous books. I'm sure you've heard me talk about him before and his research. But what does integrating our life experiences feel like? Well, of all the research that I've done, it feels like the definition that Dan has of love. His definition of love is to truly care for an, not another, but an other. So another person and their well-being while caring for yourself and your own well-being. That's pretty big. His definition is to truly care for an other and their well-being while caring for yourself and your own well-being. That is very helpful. It has an inclusiveness to it that you can bring in your business. And now there's a big movement for some coaches to bring love into your business. And so I think that the structure of that is just a beautiful thing that we need to keep in mind, that we need to care for ourselves and others. And that's an essential part of what we're doing. And it helps focus us in to what's important in our life. So if you're deciding not to integrate your life's experiences, then you're in for kind of a life of reactivity and attachment to fears that show up outside of ourselves. Reacting to what is happening outside of us instead of being able to respond and reflect on what is going on and then taking charge of the process. Reactivity, which we all experience, it's a sign of engagement toward chaos and rigidity. So it's like this slippery slope that if we start noticing that we're reacting to things instead of responding to things, that's a little signal to ourselves that we're getting out of control. that we're losing the process of taking charge of our lives. So we need to learn the signs through practicing mindfulness to stop reacting and gain an internal sense of control. Not easy, but it's doable. And I can tell you through decades of experience now, mindfulness, meditation, and also yoga, that these are deep practices, and just like any reflective source of physical art, you always need a reminder to come back to yourself, because we weren't taught early on of these important experiences and how much we need self-care and compassion along our journey in life. And in America, the dream to own your own business, own your own house, own your own car, live the independent life, it's actually a myth. What we really need is to be living an interdependent life. Not that you don't discard your dreams and aspirations or the life work that you're trying to figure out that you're meant to do here. What you're doing is you're really realizing that we're all interconnected, and there's a sense of interdependence that we have on each other, that we're deeply connected and need each other in our lives. And that's how we get our needs met. And when we're not getting our needs met, we don't feel good. And everybody around us, guaranteed, knows it. So what would it mean to you if you decided today that you wanted to stop checking and start checking out, to live an unexamined life? What would that be like? I grew up with people who have not examined their life, and I think it's why I'm so motivated to do this work. I just feel like there's such richness in examining your life that I hope every day you can make the decision when you get up that you will examine and be curious about different elements of your life and your relationships with other people. Not choosing for whatever reason to integrate your life experience is really not a fun life. It's a collapse of your soul and your inner self. And I just really want people to be, you know, courageous. And many people suffer from that decision. It's just like when you choose to examine your life, all people around you benefit from that decision. So what does it mean if you examine your life and you engage in love in your life? Well, it means that you're taking the focus off of how other people are living and working and judging their decisions. And instead, you're investing more deeply in your life and what you're doing to create a better world and engaging your curiosity, you're focusing it inward. So there's a difference between learning how others live and work from a mentoring perspective. There's learning from them versus using the focus on others to create a wall between you and how we're examining our inner life. Like, we should never have more curiosity toward investigating other people's life more than we have in our own. So that's if there's a boundary around that part of our lives, of how we're investigating our lives, that would be it. So becoming more at ease means treasuring our traits versus being defined by our traits. So moving with, and that's why we naturally like challenging who we are as human beings. Like, we physically like to see what we're made of. We like to go out in the wilderness and just try to see what our limits are. Those are the areas in which are the treasure troves of you, how you can find out your traits and your characteristics. And yes, if you're in competitive sports, and in business, you are looking at who your competitors are, but you're not defining who you are based on who they are or how they're doing business. It's having a marker and understanding different levels of competition. So being interested in developing your own traits and less interested in dogging on yourself with some of the limitations that you have. The limitations can just be there. You can work with them, but your time will be better spent if you focus on developing your strengths. And becoming more at ease means being freer in relationships, to try out healthier ways of relating without fear of abandonment or punishment. It's about being interested in also what are our relationships made of and taking a look at what the definition of love and really caring for an other. Or I was talking today with someone about when you become a parent, you engage love on a different level if you decide to be a parent. If you don't, you can still experience, of course, the depth of love. As a parent, I was just, I was talking about the mother bear in me came alive in a way that I wasn't aware of before. And a lot of times when we're exploring and being curious about different feelings that we have, we're familiar with a certain, you might have a lot of anxiety, or when you're not feeling ease, or you might have a lot of anger or deep wounds, hurts that come out at different times. And as there's like 80 some different feelings that we have. And so being curious to feel what it's like to have other feelings, they've got to be moving through the energy in our bodies. And we've got to, you know, it's just, we're not aware of what they are because we're focused on these. There's a familiarity that we have with our emotional makeup and our experiences with feelings. And so in relationship, you're engaging a deeper level of feelings the more deeply you are in love with the people in your life. You just have these feelings that you haven't experienced before. And it's nice to be able to be free enough to explore them without judgment, but you're navigating through. So becoming more at ease also means valuing yourself and others. It means practicing self-compassion and noticing when you're doing self-sabotaging behaviors. Those can be very subtle too. There are times when I just notice, like, even a thought that I'm having, it's like, is that the beginning of myself devaluing myself? Or and then I think, no, that's a passing thought. I'm not attaching. I'm just going to let it go. But, you know, many times we take on the thought and then all of a sudden we notice we're behaving in a way that is very not constructive to our better health. So becoming at ease means really taking a deep look and also being curious about how we value ourselves and how we behave when we show up to be valued. This can be negotiating or making sure that we get paid for the work that we're doing. That's another way in which devaluing or valuing ourselves can show up. The last one is becoming more at ease means also self-organizing, which is the flow of energy and information within what's called the triangle of well-being that Dr. Dan Siegel has invented, or what he calls mindsight. So it's a triangle. And when I learned this, I thought, oh, this is so much easier to navigate, that we're in charge of our brain, and our brain is in charge of all the signals that we send to our body and our nervous system. And our mind helps us to process the energy and the flow of information throughout our bodies, and is connected with our behavior. And also the third area is relationships. So if we can address our brain, work with our mind, and practice healthy relating, we've got a pretty solid triangle that connects us to our well-being, and that you can experience more ease and the feelings of well-being when you understand where you are within that triangle at any given part of the day. And when you notice that, you also become aware of other people too. So you can practice a process that enables us to monitor the flow of energy information by sensing the flow within ourselves and perceiving it in our nervous system. Dr. Dan calls the nervous system our brains, and within the relationships that involve the we're sharing information and energy constantly all the time. And we do this through different forms of communication. So one of our jobs of the mind is to monitor that energy and information. We can then modify where we can be a little bit more in charge of the flow through awareness and intention. And fundamental aspects that we can understand of our mind. And we can directly shape the path that that energy and information flows. So we can do this all by learning some mental activities, which is meditation. We can define well-being as occurring when there's a through a system of integration, which helps us to feel like we're more like we're internally connected. That's what the integration part means. Integration involves the linkage of the different parts of a system, which are the different aspects of who we are. You can talk about it through male or female energy, or you can talk about it in Carl Jung's like archetypal or different ways we in psychology try to help each other understand one another. Or through the hero journey, you can understand the human system that we have, that these interactions within the parts often involve the flow of energy and information. And so energy is the physical property enabling us to do something. Information is the representation of something other than itself. So words and ideas, they're examples of units of information that we use to communicate with one another. We also use sign language and different languages based on our culture. Our relationships involve our connection to other people in pairs, families, groups, schools, communities, and societies. That's why we like adjust our behavior based on who we're interacting with or what is the energy or the flow of the family or the group. Or yeah, I was just talking with someone recently. And this reminds me of like in your family unit. Like every day around the dinner hour, it's always very challenging. Like our energy just shifts and we're all hungry and cranky. And so in yoga, Matthew and I learned an acronym called HALT. It's if we're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, let's check those feelings first within ourselves, and then we'll respond. Oh yeah, I'm hungry, so I'm cranky, so I'm really wanting to know when we're going to eat. Or feeling lonely. A lot of us experience that more significantly through the COVID pandemic in ways that we hadn't before. And you can tell by the research that we're seeing of our youth and our LGBTQ communities who are experiencing some real negativity right now in our society, that the loneliness that they're experiencing is at an all-time high and the level of depression is really disconcerting. And so the energy around different groups that we're in or family units, it's very, we need to be attuned to. So I'm, in a big way, I'm just saying that based on the group or the information that you're getting, it can affect your mood or whether or not you need to stop, check in with yourself, and figure out what you're going to do next. So I'm closing today's conversation with a mind activity to move our focus inward, to observe the energy and information flow of our thoughts, feelings, narratives, and images. So find a comfortable position that supports a calm yet alert state of mind. And if you're driving, please pull to the side of the road. This is a 12-minute meditation. It's a turning inward meditation inspired by Healthy Minds Innovation App in the area of insight. I've tailored it to fit our circumstances and situation. All right, so as you begin focusing on your breath, moving in and out of your nose and through your body, your mouth is relaxed, your jaw is relaxed, and so are your shoulders. Squeeze your toes and just feel them, whether they're planted on the floor, whether you've got cross-legged in a chair or a sofa or on the floor. Our minds jump from one thought to another, and so I wanted to give you a way that we could notice the passing nature of our memories, our expectations, and our judgments, that these passing experiences do not define us and they don't last. So notice what is motivating you to practice with me right now. Find a motivation to guide your practice. It might be an intention to get curious about how your thoughts and feelings move through your mind, or it might be to calm a chaotic mind or shift a rigid, persistent thought, or release a sticky emotion that's lingering. So just continue breathing. Observe any mental thoughts, images, inner dialogue, or emotions. Don't worry about your thoughts. Just notice how your thoughts are always changing, coming and going. Take it slow and do your best noticing your thoughts and how they shift and change, similar to a movie moving from one scene to another. So, stickier thoughts can lead you to distraction. Just observe. No need to change anything. That's just part of that too is changing. Notice any mental silences after a thought is gone. See if you can be ready and waiting for the next thought. See if you can watch it rise and disappear. Notice how your mind uses words and maybe has an attitude in your mental talk. Just observe any mental talk or dialogue or narrative. Notice how you are feeling. How are your feelings affecting the shape and context of your thoughts? Are you bored? Tired? Energetic? At ease? Notice if your current state is related to your thoughts in some way. Now take a break, drop the effort, rest in open awareness. When you're ready, tune back into your inner world. Notice the constant changes in your mind, like sensations in your body. Observe your constantly changing mind and what is happening. See if you can pay attention and directly observe what you are actually experiencing and feeling. Now see if you can catch a mental image vanishing. What is the last thing you hear and see before a mental image vanishes? As you pay attention to your thoughts, notice when there is no thinking at all, the space in between. Well done. Take a break to let go of your practice and just rest. Just be here, right now, without exerting any effort. Pick a random word or phrase like grass or warmth. Observe the inner quality of the voice of the word or phrase that you've chosen. What does that word or phrase sound like? Stay tuned to the inner voice and drop the words. Then notice how your thoughts are constantly changing. Observe what happens naturally in your mind. See what you notice. Remember, the point here is to see how thoughts, memory, and mental impressions fluctuate. If you get distracted, that is another indication of your thoughts shifting. Just come back to your thoughts. Ask yourself before we finish this practice, how was your mind? Was it busy? Calm? Stable? Or changing? How might it be useful to know this? Nice work. Let go of your practice and rest in open awareness. Just know that self-inquiry into the mind isn't easy. It is helpful in managing our energy and the flow of information. Stay curious. Give yourself space to choose how you want to respond. Remember, the goal isn't to stop or change your thoughts. The goal is just to observe them, to give you information about how your thoughts, feelings, narratives, and images are constantly changing. The secret to transformation is to awaken the mind so that we can regulate these patterns intentionally, shift how the brain fires, and alter the ways in which we approach communication within our relationships. We do this through open and regular practice in understanding or noticing the energy flow of our thoughts, feelings, narratives, and images. Well, thanks for tuning in. You can open your eyes and bring yourself back to the present moment and your regular breathing. Feel free to do this 12-minute mental meditation practice again, anytime. You can always turn inward to meditate. You can also download the Healthy Minds app and do any type of practice, and just they track your progress, and it just is nice. It gives you little chunks of information that you can manage throughout each day without moving into overwhelm about any of it. All right. So thanks again for tuning in. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, Monfrey Adonautemer, brother from another mother, and videographer. And tune in and find out what we're up to next week. All right. Talk to you then. Bye. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become effective as a business owner? Do you want to evolve yourself as you redesign your business? You can. We know that dual innovation with mentoring works. We've mentored thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and small business owners in this dual innovation process since 1992. We are here to co-create a mentoring process where you can nourish resilient relationships while you redesign your business. Resilient relationships promote relational literacy, the ability to understand and express healthy ways of relating. Even a slight increase in relational literacy can lead to significant improvement in all of your relationships. So why not take the risk to move out of dysfunctional relating and move into ways to deepen your connection to yourself and others? Assert self-leadership. If you aren't already subscribed to this podcast, go do it now. Go to wementor.com and get the support and skills needed to build a purposeful life journey with your peers on the entrepreneurial leadership path, consciously co-creating our future. You can also join our virtual mentoring community for one-on-one strategic mentoring or participate in a WeMentor lab, because we mentor meaningful conversations and activities that lead to higher levels of functionality and engagement in our world and everything that we do with each other. So engage your curiosity and become the leader you envision yourself to be today. WeMentor.com. Go there. Check it out.